College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
If that line falls on the right, babe, not that Maggie's.
Ba-da-ba.
Back in town.
The Fan. McMonagle here with you for 4 hours. I got you until 5 a.m. when the warm-up show comes your way. We got Alex on the other side this morning, and we're taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. It's already Monday. We're back at it, 4th of July week. Let's get through it together. Let's try and figure this thing out together, Met fans. Oh my God, what an unbelievable weekend. We'll get to the Yankees later. We'll get to the Knicks not having a head coach as we hit the free agency on what is probably the most important regular season in the last 30 years with a chance to win a championship with the Eastern Conference. We'll get to all of it, but we have to start with 30-4. Let's just say it. Don't be afraid to say it. You don't run from it. You got to stare it right in the face, recognize what the hell this was. This was an ass-kicking, top to bottom, from the Pittsburgh Pirates. 30-4 over three games. It is the worst series in the history of the franchise. They have never been beat this bad in a three-game set in the history of the New York Mets. 1962, the lovable losers. It's never been as bad as it was this weekend. Against the Pirates, who don't score runs. And I'm not sure which number bothers me more, the 30 or the 4. Because I've been talking about this offense for a while, and I've yet to really put a lot of the blame on the pitching. The pitching has been so good all year. It's what got them to the best record in baseball earlier this month, heading into that Father's Day weekend series against Tampa Bay, where it has now fallen apart, where they are 13 out of their last 16 are losses. And I've been hesitant to kill the pitching because of how good it's been and how amazing what the Mets have done here with this pitching staff. And what bothers me the most, and I'm misreading it, or maybe I should be more focused on the terrible play that we saw this weekend, the lackluster offense, the pitching that is now in disarray. What bothers me the most, and I don't know why, but the last time I talked to you, on the overnights, I know I did the Saturday show, but the last time we were here early in the morning, I was talking about how important that Thursday night win was against the Atlanta Braves. How important it was to see Griffin Cannon go down in a heap to what we knew then, but now have been confirmed since, with his torn Achilles. To have that staff be in the position it's been in now for the last 2 weeks, and we saw it multiple times through this series on how few innings the starting pitching has been going, how the amount of work that the bullpen has been forced into, the lack of offense, everything, losing the first five games of the season to the Atlanta Braves, winning that game on Wednesday, and then following it up with a game where your starting pitcher goes down in the third inning, and you've got guys like Austin Warren and Daniel Nunez stepping in and giving you that kind of performance, shutting down the Braves, you get just enough offense, and you salvage the last two games of that four-game set at home against the Atlanta Braves, and you feel like you've turned a corner a little bit. Now, obviously, still the rotation, and we saw what happened this weekend. You knew the rotation is still going to be in trouble, and obviously you lost one of your only trusted guys here, as those are dwindling. And the offense didn't exactly break out, but you won a big game. And you're trying to build on that, heading into Pittsburgh to play the lousy Pirates. As we talk about the trade deadline and who's buyers and who's sellers, one of the clear-cut sellers, one of the teams that have been absolutely terrible all year, a joke of a franchise, firing their manager, not putting an ounce of money into the team, having one of the best young superstar pitchers in all of baseball, who you weren't even going to see this series, in Skeens, doing nothing to try and actually do anything to build a winner. The thing that they, you know, they're riding on Skeens and, you know, bringing back McCutcheon the last couple years to give their fans anything. They're scoring 3.5 runs a game. If that, it's one of the weaker offenses in the sport. And you come into this weekend off of those two games looking to end this, looking to get back into your winning ways. You've got Manaea hopefully on the precipice of coming back. You're waiting for Senga. You know the where this rotation is. You've got Juan Soto having one of the best months any Met player has ever had in its history. You win the last two games of that series, and you're heading into it against the Pirates with David Peterson on the mound to get you going, and he's been your best pitcher by a mile, and he gets hit around in the second inning, and from that moment on, they got their tails kicked in for 3 straight days against the Pirates. And yes, for the first time, I have to admit the rotation that clearly is in absolute shambles, as now you are starting to worry about Peterson. As we saw that, listen, I'm not saying Montas has had one good start, one terrible start, as he had batting practice today. He's just coming back from injury. We haven't seen him all year. We don't know what he is, but you can't count on him, that's for sure. Paul Blackburn, and we can get into whether or not the manager made a mistake, bringing him back out after the rain delay. Like, you're missing the point. Because of the innings that this starting rotation has given you, where is the manager supposed to go? He's got to try and get. Could he have gone to the bullpen quicker after he gives up the first 3 hits of the inning, the first 4 hits of the inning, the first 5 hits of the inning? Yeah, I suppose the manager could have went to the bullpen sooner with Paul Blackburn after bringing him out. But this team and this staff is in complete disarray. This vaunted pitching lab, which I'm not going to knock. I'll be totally honest with you. I am not knocking the pitching lab. Overall, without question, the New York Mets have done an incredible job with their starting pitching for a season and a half. And it's carried this lousy offense. But yes, obviously, you're down 5-0. You're down 4-0 before the games even start in the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's hard to get your offense going. But this offense stinks. When are they ever going to break through? Listen, you're not going to win the game 13-12. I get it. But can you? You don't expect to. I mean, you could. It's allowed. But when are they? They don't do anything. They are the worst team with runners in scoring position outside of the Chicago White Sox. The worst. That means the Colorado Rockies are better with runners in scoring position than the New York Mets. They were 0-9 in the game on Friday night. And listen, Saturday they have an opportunity to win the game. I know it ends up being a 9-run game or whatever, you know, all these high runs. I understand it gets a blowout late. Brazoban's been terrible because he's been relied on so much. The bullpen's starting to fall apart here. You have an opportunity to win that game on Saturday. That's a close game. It's 3-2 in the eighth. This offense does nothing. Even Juan Soto. And I was listening a little bit to Evans, Rico Bronya. Even in this incredible month where Juan Soto has the highest OPS in baseball and one of the, I guess Darryl Strawberry just eked him out with a month in 87 or whatever. I don't know. For the highest OPS for any month in the history of the Mets organization. And yet he's still terrible with runners in scoring position even throughout this June. And this series to come off of those two games, and I'm telling you, that's what's sticking in my craw. Because those two games felt like, and particularly the last one, felt like a little bit of a turning point. It felt like one of those wins you're going to turn back and look at for your season. To see a starting pitcher who is, for me, exhibit A of what this pitching rotation has been and what this pitching lab has been in Griffin Canning. To watch him go down with a devastating injury that that team has to recover from. We talked about it on Friday morning. You know, it's not just about, you know, the win and loss or you lose a teammate. Like, it hurts the team. When a guy like that goes down like that, when a guy who's having a great year, a guy who's looking to make something out of his career, a guy who's looking maybe now to get paid with a contract, to see him go down like that, it's devastating for a team. And they get, you know, good performances from guys you wouldn't expect it from, and it leads to a really good, solid win against a team you haven't played well against all year as you go and head on the road to the Pirates, and it's supposed to be the beginning of something new, and instead, it's the worst they've ever seen in the history of the franchise. It was the biggest laying of an egg. It was the biggest no-show from an offense, from a starting staff, and clearly moving forward, we could talk about the, like, I've been on the offense all year long. This has been a problem for the Met offense all year long, runners in scoring position. And I've tried to give the pitching staff a break because they've earned it by carrying this team when it's supposed to be carried by the offense. But now you look at it. Paul Blackburn sucks. Montas, you cannot trust. You're starting to now worry off of two terrible starts from David Peterson. And you are just waiting for Manaea. You are waiting for Senga. There is nobody in this rotation that you have a good feeling about. Nobody. And this is where you start to look back on how the pitching is constructed. Because, yes, it's a double-edged sword when you talk about pitching injuries. If you're going to build a rotation, and look, again, I'm not blaming it. I understand exactly what David Stearns is thinking. It's smart to not go give out contracts. What would we be saying right now if they gave $250 million to Corbin Burnes and he's out for the next year and a half? Like, we get it. I get it. We all get it. And the job this rotation has done to carry this team for the last year has been incredible. But the problem with doing it is that injuries happen to all pitchers. If you are going to say that and you are going to acknowledge it and that is going to be the reason why you don't invest big time money in it, that's fine. But what happens is even the lousy pitchers that you are somehow getting great performances from, they go down too. And you can talk in the start of the year like you are in a great position with incredible depth. But when your depth is Paul Blackburn and Griffin Canning and you're waiting on Frankie Montas and things don't start to go right, it's hard to keep that rotation afloat. And it's hard to keep this bullpen afloat as you are demanding so many innings from it on a consistent basis. And now for the first time in a year, the feeling around this team, the feeling around this rotation, you went out there and you didn't care who it was. They were giving you a good start. Griffin Canning, Paul Blackburn against the Dodgers. You know, Frankie Montas in his first start back. Luis Severino, who can't get an out with the A's this entire season pretty much, especially at home, and got lit up by the Yankees yesterday. Frankie Montas, you know, again, Severino, resurrect Manaea's career. It doesn't matter who you threw out for a full year, and it was carrying this lousy offense. And now the second it's faltering, and now it was faltering for the first, you know, 13 games of this 16-game stretch. Now it's completely decimated, and the offense has nothing for you. You're falling behind in these games, and you're getting embarrassed by the Pirates. Cabrian Hayes is just absolutely killing you. Hayes, Reynolds, like Cruz, it doesn't matter. They were pounding the baseball. This was not one of those games or one of this series where a couple walks and then a base hit. Like maybe I guess that's fair. The Saturday game kind of was like that in the eighth inning with Brazabon walking another three guys. But for the most part, I mean, they are pounding the baseball. It was batting practice in Pittsburgh.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now this team, moving forward, they're going to, you know, they're off today. They'll pick it back up on Tuesday. They have finished the month of June. And coming off of that series, I don't know how you're supposed to feel. I don't know how you're supposed to have any confidence in this team. I don't know how you're supposed to believe. Now, what they've done over the last 2 years makes you feel like this GM is obviously on top of it. They have nothing to do until the trade deadline. There's no moves to be made now. We have said that over and over again. There is no moves to be made now. There's nothing. They have to wait for Manaea. They have to wait for Sanga. That's it. Hope we were expecting Vientos. That's the other thing, right? The offense is struggling. They win those last two games against Atlanta. Vientos is coming back from injury, leading into Pittsburgh. He's 1-for-13 in the series, and the Mets get their doors blown off. And these games aren't competitive. Again, 30-4 is the biggest three-game series ass-kicking the Mets have ever received in their history. And every, you know, as you're hoping for things to come back, even now, like, you have to, Manaea has to come back, and then he has to find his footing, as you're finding with Montas. It's not that easy. And every aspect of the team is failing them all at the same time. And they have a team meeting on Saturday after the game. You know, several key players speak. Soto said something. I guess McNeil spoke. Whoever else spoke. Like, we saw this last year, and they took off after it. If you remember, and to be fair about the team meeting and the impact that it'll have, I believe they had the team meeting in a series against Arizona, and they lost the last two games of that series. So it wasn't an immediate fix off of that team meeting, but we know team meetings. I mean, that's going to go down as one of the all-time team meetings in the history of the franchise last year. It's because they don't typically do anything. And this offense continues to come up small at any, like, you know, they have a couple guys on a couple spots. Vientos strikes out. Like, there's really not much going on. Evan also said another stat that I got to give credit to Evan for pulling out of the, you know, they've hit, I believe, 19 home runs in the month of June. 19. 18 of them are solo. 19 home runs in 16 games. That's a pretty good number. 18 of them are solo. They are doing nothing with runners in scoring position. Nothing. And an offense that is supposed to carry this team. We've talked about it. Yes, the pitching lab, which is now going to get mocked. Now we're going to laugh about it. We're going to question everything David Stearns has done. Fair or unfair, that's what's going to lead to. Like, you look at all the different things in this team. The pitching lab is now failing them. Every single young player you had hopes for. I guess Alvarez is hitting a home run and a triple in the minor leagues. We'll see if he can get back here quickly because they need something. But you've got Beatty, who continues to struggle, you know, not proving he's a major leaguer over the course of the last two seasons, even going back further than that. Acuna sent down. Alvarez, the top prospect in all of baseball, sent down. Vientos looking nothing like he did last year. Again, it's three games back from an injury. I do want to keep him in the lineup every day, and hopefully he can return to that. But he's been a massive disappointment this year. Mauricio did just enough in the couple games at the end of the Atlanta series to justify keeping him on the roster, but he's looked overmatched at times. So you've got a pitching lab that is falling apart, a bunch of young, talented position players who are all failing at the moment, an offense that while having some good numbers and having a Juan Soto who's on fire, not scoring runs, not coming through with runners in scoring position, a bullpen that outside of Diaz is completely overworked and is starting to fall apart, and some of the best names you've had all year in Reed Garrett and Brazoban are starting to falter. I mean, nothing. There is not an aspect of this team after an incredible start, after having the best record in baseball, having a pitching staff that had the best ERA in the game, continuing to show how smart this organization is, how well prepared this organization is, how they're capable of building a team in what is probably the most successful way to do so. Not money into pitching, money into the offense, find ways to make the pitching work, get enough offensively. Like, that's the plan. It's a smart plan. It was working all of the second half of last year through the first half of this year, and now everything is failing them all at once. And it doesn't feel like any longer that it's just a slump. Because you've had too many injuries, too long of unsuccessful offense. It's 85 games into the season, and this offense has not found itself. 85 games in. And the pitching staff, while still really good for most of the year, it doesn't feel like necessarily that you can count on any of them. Can you count on Montas? Do you feel good after the batting practice he threw today? I think most Met fans would tell you David Peterson scared the hell out of them for a lot of their fandom. And yes, he's had a great full calendar year. But now off of these two starts, how quickly do you feel concerned about David Peterson? Blackburn stinks. Tidwell stinks. Like, who are they throwing out there? It doesn't feel like it's just a bad stretch anymore. It feels like the answers aren't there. It feels like this roster isn't very good. And to blow the momentum they had after those two games against the Braves is what's really bothering me. To show up lifeless in Pittsburgh after those two games, to rally back in that game when Griffin goes down, Griffin Cannon goes down, to follow it up with a lifeless, dead performance in Pittsburgh. And I know it's hard when the starting pitcher gets rocked at the beginning of these games. I understand that. But there is no fight. They are not in these games against the Pirates. I'm watching some of the highlights on MLB. My son likes to go through every morning all the highlight package on MLB. And in the highlight packages, they're playing a lot of the Pittsburgh broadcast. They're flabbergasted. They can't believe how many hits they're getting. They can't believe the offense. You should hear the call. Maybe I'll find some and play some later. Like, they're like, what is, look at this. They can't believe how many hard hit line drives are being sprayed all over the ballpark. The old Pittsburgh broadcast cannot believe how well they played and how well that offense performed against the Mets this weekend. Their own organization is shocked at how well they played this week. The broadcasters are besides themselves. They're practically having a party. They don't know what to do. Thank God June is over. Thank God June is over. And they end up actually without a terrible record because they started so damn hot. But they are now 3 of their last 16. They are 3-13 over their last 16 games. And you are just desperately waiting for Manaea. You are desperately waiting for Senga. And right now it feels like the answers just aren't there. And as much as you might want to kill the pitching staff, and rightfully so after this weekend, I still have a problem. Now, again, they gave up a ton of runs this weekend. It's hard to call the offense the reason for the failures of this weekend against Pittsburgh. But they scored 4 runs. They scored 4 runs. And they're not devastated by injury. They're not falling apart. This pitching staff has held this franchise up for the last 2 years practically, and certainly this year. And this offense has done nothing. Lindor, terrible in this series, in a terrible slump. Alonso, after a great start, and to give him credit, he's probably the only Met with good numbers and running with runners in scoring position on the damn team. You can't get too pissed with what Soto's doing because he's had an incredible June. But you look at his offensive numbers, you look at his numbers on the scoring position, and I said this at the Fanatics Fest, he's not making the impact. Juan Soto just had the best month outside of 1 month for Daryl Strawberry. It is the second best month any Met has ever had. He had one of, if not the best month of any player in Major League Baseball in June. He's had an incredible stretch. And yet the offense isn't scoring, and they've lost 13 of their last 16. You're squandering the best of Juan Soto. You're squandering a two-game end of series against Atlanta. So much squandering this weekend, as that was as ugly a performance out in Pittsburgh as you could possibly have. Just an ugly weekend for the New York Mets, and it needs to turn around now. And I ask you, Met fans, give me a call, 888-808-1019. Where are the answers? Other than you're getting some pitchers back, it's a long season. They were really good before this stretch. They can be really good again. But right now, you've got Clay Holmes. Like, that's it. It feels like he's the guy you can trust right now. You've got Clay Holmes, who doesn't pitch on regular rest. So you're pushing back Clay Holmes. You're pushing, you know, who knows what's going on with Peterson right now. Like, that's it. You rolled into this series with Peterson being one of the best pitchers in baseball, one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball over the last month. He gets rocked, and it set up the entire weekend. The Mets are in desperate need of Senga and Minaya coming back, and not sure when it's going to happen, and if that'll even be enough. 888-808-1019. So we'll start with you, Met fans, off of just an ugly weekend against the Pirates. 30-4. And I'm not sure which number bothers me more.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 134. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Just an absolute frustrating weekend for the New York. Look, I know Lindor was asked after the game if he was embarrassed by it. And I understand players don't want to say embarrassed. There's a professional team on the other side. And normally I would agree with that sentiment. Like, hey, that's a professional team on the other side. You tip their cap. Normally I would agree. I happen to despise the way the Pittsburgh Pirates do business. I hate some of these teams. Like, the Colorado Rockies are a joke. To fire their managers is a laughingstock. Same thing with Pittsburgh. And I'm already, you know, I got a couple tweets about stop being a bitter Yankee fan. I am rooting for the New York Mets over the Pittsburgh Pirates. You could believe that or not, I don't care. And that doesn't even, it's not even the point. I don't know if you could tell, I'm genuinely annoyed with the New York Mets right now. They're better than this. They're better than this. And I understand Lindor doesn't want to, you know, admit being embarrassed, and that's fine. I players feel that way. Yankees were saying the same thing when they're going through their struggles. And by no means, let me just make, I might have had a slip there. Make no mistake about it. The Yankees are not out of anything. They go play a Toronto team that they better go beat. Like, winning 2 out of 3 against the A's and having a miserable game on Saturday does not tell you they are out of any kind of funk. But they're hesitant to say I'm embarrassed. They point to the other team being a professional team. And normally that makes more sense than it does for the Mets this weekend, because I'm not sure the Pirates are. I'm not sure the Pirates are. And I know you're going through it, and you can struggle. And you could even lose a series to Pittsburgh on the road. You can't get swept, and you can't be outscored 30-4. Your starters can't have an ERA over 13, and your team hit with runners in scoring position under 100. Starters had an ERA over 13, and the lineup hit under 100 with runners in scoring position. I mean, to the Pirates, without Skeens. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And especially to squander the momentum they had against Atlanta. That I don't know why that's bothering me. Maybe it's because I yelled for 5 hours about how important of a win that was. No, it's not important. That doesn't mean jack. That win is meaningless. Meaningless. Those last two games against Atlanta, meaningless. Now look, the positive is, if I'm going to give you a positive, is that they won so many games and had such a good record to start this slide, with the best record in all of baseball, I believe, right before the slide, that they're still 11 games over 500. They're 11 games over 500. They are two games back in the loss column of Philadelphia. They're still in a playoff position. They're still the top wild card. I believe they are two games ahead in the wild card. Let me double check that real quick. The wild card standings. They are two games up. They're a game up on the Cardinals, two games up on the for the final spot, and then the Padres are the fourth team a game. So they're only two games up. The Giants are 2.5 back. The Reds are 3.5 back. And then the Diamondbacks at 6. You're talking about, the San Diego Padres, who are a pretty good team. You're only two games better than them out of being out of a playoff position. But they're still in it, and they're about to take on the Milwaukee Brewers, who have been hot. And Quintana on the mound, as he was passed over when all the injuries were happening in spring training and everybody was screaming, bring back Quintana, bring back Quintana. They chose not to. He's having a really good year with Milwaukee. That's the other thing that's probably bothering Met fans right now, and I'm going to get to the calls. It's starting to show some cracks in David Stearns. Again, it's a 16-game stretch, and overall, he has done a great job. Last year does not disappear with 16 games here. Last year, that team went on an incredible run. They went all the way to the NLCS on kind of a transition year, a building year, and maybe the, I don't know, whatever. We know what last year was. Heading into last year, the expectations were maybe playoffs if everything broke right, and they were in game 6 of the NLCS against the future champion Dodgers. That was one hell of a season they had last year. And they had the best record in baseball from June on. And this year, they got off to a great start. They're still in really good position to make the playoffs and go on a run. But the failings of this team, and some of the young players aren't even drafted by Stearns or brought in by Stearns, but the young players are failing. And this rotation that he built this way is collapsing. The pitching lab is collapsing. Now, a lot of it's due to injury, yeah, but you know what? You can't cry to me about injuries when you built a rotation based on the idea that pitchers get injured. Yeah. If you're going to build your rotation on the idea, I'm not spending money on it because pitchers get injured, and you talk about how great your depth is at the start of the year because you got Paul Blackburn waiting in the wings. No one's going to feel sorry for you. And Met fans are going to get pissed off that this is what the rotation looks like and you didn't put any real talent in it or spend any money when you have the richest owner in baseball and a feeling like this is the year to capitalize on trying to win a World Series and you got Juan Soto. So you're starting to see the cracks in David Stearns. And maybe, just maybe, because I am the Yankee and Brian Cashman shill, we'll get into the idea that this is why Brian Cashman gets in trouble. Because the concept of going into a rotation like this isn't something the Yankees really tolerate. So they spend money, and sometimes it's poor money spent. Sometimes the contracts don't work out. Sometimes the players are a disaster. But this is what we talk about with the small market teams. Eventually, you're going to find out that you can't. When you have the money, you can't just build it like a small market team and hope it works out. you're going to have to take chances and bring real talent here in every aspect of the team, not just in the everyday lineup and not just on guys under 30. You're going to have to take some chances to bring real talent in here and put out contracts you don't necessarily love because you're chasing a championship. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing better than my baseball team, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then, look, I am in lockstep with you on not only just winning the last two and kind of saving any face possible with how bad of a stretch that was.
Yeah.
You know, you just look at specifically the last four against Atlanta, splitting them and taking the last two with that.
Yeah.
And also kind of like the whole, you know, thing of building off of that, not only the win that night, but how are you going to expand on it down the road? And they only went on to have the worst three-game stretch in one specific series in the entirety of the history.
Yeah.
Which is, we're not talking about the Dodgers or
no.
the Yankees. You're talking about one of the most dubious, you know, histories in the league,
yeah.
in the league's history. You know, you're talking about the 62 Mets, like the one of the worst records ever. You're talking about the Mickey Callaway days. The list goes on. And they found a way to do something that's never been done before. And just overall, like, I put out a tweet. We were just talking about a couple series ago, the last road series. I don't know, well, they were in Philly, but when they were out at Truist in Atlanta, we always talk about the House of Horrors. They never find ways. For just some reason, that just like everything always turns to you know what when they play down in Atlanta. But if you want to play devil's advocate and say, you know what, Atlanta, they always got their you know what together. They're one of the, you know, kind of the rivalry aspect and everything. You know, they just have our number. Simple as that. How in their right mind, for some reason, they always seem to fall apart at PNC Park against that team in that ballpark. I mean, you point to 2021. What was it, the Louis Rojas Taiwan Walker game? You remember the bunt they scored like three runs on? They like sandwiched that All Star break, and the season was shot from there. You know, that point forward. And I was just looking. It's a hard ask to ask a team to sweep a series more often than not. But against the Pirates franchise, I don't think so much. Since that ballpark opened, they swept them in the first year. 2001 was when it opened. They swept them that first year, and since then they have not swept the Pirates at PNC Park in a season, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And in that stretch, they like Pittsburgh swept us like three or four times, and there's a lot of like 2-1s where Pittsburgh took the series. And we're not even talking about losing, bro. You brought it up. I just brought up 30-4. That's unfathomable.
No.
The fact they didn't even do that against Atlanta. Pittsburgh, one of the worst teams in the league that somehow always has their number, and you brought it up too. Every single facet of the team looked bad, except for Juan Soto, magically. I guess that's the positive. Soto's getting it together when the rest of the team's falling apart. But there's not one pitcher. You even brought up Clay Holmes. I don't know if I could trust him anymore because he's all of a sudden now it's looking like, you know, when Lugo looked, he almost put up a Cy Young candidate type season in his first year as a starter. Michael King was untouchable his first year as a starter, and Clay Holmes had about a month and a half of a shelf life. And if, you know, we are going apples to oranges or just kind of like comparing everybody, he probably is the most reliable, but I don't even know if you can rely on him. And it probably would have been Peterson 2 weeks ago, but like you said, you know, he's in a down stretch too. So like you said, C-Mac, everything that could have went wrong did go wrong, and some. And this is as bad of a spot as we've seen since Stearns took over. Because like the whole
monster, no doubt.
Any pitcher could come in here, throw on a Met jersey, and they'll have a career year. And because look at Seth, you know, you're starting to see some of the guys like Quintana's pitching all right, but Severino, you talk about, you know, premier example of Waller here, Cannon going from being a total mess to coming here, throwing on the Met jersey, and all of a sudden he's having a career year. You're seeing the ripple effect with Severino post Stearns with the Mets. You know, he was a mess his final year when you guys came here in a great year, and now he's a disaster. Doesn't do it justice.
Yeah,
with Oakland.
No, absolutely. So, and thank you for the call, Ross. No, I mean, listen. Again, this doesn't eliminate the successes of it. I like these 16 games doesn't take away what last year was, what Stearns has been able to do, what this pitching lab has been able to do. Those things still exist, right? Severino leaves, not nearly as good. Now, Quintana has left and had a good year with Milwaukee, and we were all clamoring for him to be here. It made sense to bring him back on the contract he probably got, No, but there's no doubt, and I mentioned this a couple times. I think I talked about it on Friday, and I definitely talked about it on Saturday. When you are going to build a pit, when you're going to, like, if you have a staff filled with good pitchers, it's like the Mets pitching staff is the older veteran player. Like, the Mets pitching staff right now is like Goldschmidt, for example, right? Let's relate it to the Yankees or at least teams we know about. But like the older everyday player, when he slumps, you don't just say, oh, it's a slump, he'll be fine. You question whether or not it's the end of his career. Is it over? Judge is slumping for a month. No one questions whether, and plus he's, you know, great, but I'm just saying, like a 28-year-old stud or a 28-year-old guy slumps, it's just a slump. It could be bad. It could be really bad. It could be long. It could be short. It's just a slump. Nobody wonders whether or not the whole thing is a disaster or if he's done. But when you slump at 35, 36, suddenly, is this the end of his career? And when you put together a rotation like the Mets have put together, when they're successful, and boy, were they ever, for the last year, to heights I never expected them to be as successful, you praise it, you scratch your head, and you pray at the altar of David Stearns and what he's been able to do. But when it starts to falter, you don't say, at least most Met fans probably won't, and people who look around baseball probably won't, they won't say, oh, well, look, it's just a slump, and they weren't going to pitch this well forever. You can't, not when it's this bad. When it's this bad now, you wonder, man, did they put enough money into this rotation? Is this how you should have built it? I mean, now you're dealing with all this. You got to trust, like you just said, Clay Holmes. He's a converted reliever. I think he's great. He's had a great year. I think he's got really good stuff. I've been a Clay Holmes guy for a long time, defending Clay Holmes and talking about how good I think Clay Holmes is and his stuff is good. But he's already pitched more innings than he's ever pitched. We're halfway through. He got another half of the season to go. And he's already hit more innings than he's ever pitched before. It's a concern whether or not you're going to get the same Clay Holmes in the second half that you got in the first half. Montas, you can't trust. Peterson now seems like someone you got to see again, go out there and pitch a good game before you'll trust it. And you're right, man. Think of where the Met fan might have been, at least where I was, on Thursday night. They win that game. They take the last two. They come back. They win that game after that injury. You knew, like, there was two, I talked about this on Saturday. There's two ways you're going to come from that series. You were either going to leave that Thursday night game, head into Pittsburgh, with your best pitcher on the mound for Friday night. And you were going to be talking about overcoming it, putting an end to the bad streak, figuring it out, waiting for Manaea, waiting for Senga. But team stabilized itself. They win the last two games of Atlanta. They go into Pittsburgh and at the bare minimum take two out of three. Now you've won four out of your last five. And you're feeling a lot better. And you can either come out of that series thinking, okay, the Mets have stemmed the tide and started to turn it around, or you're going to come out thinking, my goodness, that Griffin Canning injury is devastating. And right now, off of 30-4, there's no question. That game Thursday now is more about Griffin Canning and the state of the rotation than it was a good, feel-good win. That win is gone, and all that remains is the devastating injury to the rotation. Jack in the Upper West Side. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Chris. You know, a few weeks ago, I think somebody was giving you a hard time, like as if your Mets perspective was like that of a Yankee fan. And I always disagree with that. I think you're very fair. In fact, you will listen to Rinko Bronya in order to get a little more Mets point of view. I think you're fair on us.
I think it's
even worse. I agree with you that the silver lining is we're two games back and the loss with all this thing that's going on, but I think this situation is in some ways there's a detail that I think you missed that's even worse. As great as Soto's month has been, his numbers aren't just bad with runners in scoring position. He has done exactly the same thing with runners on base. He's got the same 600 OPS. 150 batting average. Mm-hmm. He hasn't produced anything with runners on base.
No.
You take Pete's batting average with runners on base out of the equation, and I just can't even imagine how bad the team has been doing. But Soto is with all of his talent, and I'll even give a guy time to adjust to carrying a $750 million weight on his back, because he's human, and we've seen we know what he can do. We know what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
But 16 solo home runs he hasn't had an impact. It's just not been enough.
I think that's fair. I mean, listen, he's had a great month. It's hard to kill him when the rest of the offense has been what it's been for this month, and he's the one guy trying to carry it.
Yeah.
But you're right. And Evan mentioned it. He talked about it in the Rico. So I only mention it because I don't I want to give him credit. I don't want to think I didn't do the work. He did the work. He had three hits in the entire month of June with runners in scoring position. Three. Now, part of that is he probably didn't. I think he had 22 at bats. You'd like to have more than 22 at bats in a full month, but 3 for 22. That's not nearly good enough. Right. As great as this month,
35 at bats on the season. That's a big chunk of at bats.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's been bad. There's no doubt. But that was he was struggling at all times. Now, what's frustrating is now that even that he's hot and having one of his great months, like back to this is as good as Juan Soto's ever been. This is full bore, you know, full regalia Juan Soto. You have seen it for the month of June. This is the great player. This is every bit as good as he was at any point for the New York Yankees. Like he's having an incredible month. And yet still, for whatever reason, his one thing you can point to is that he's struggling with runners in scoring position. And he's still not impacting the team as much. Like, it just, he's had his, it's frustrating to think that he's had his best month and they still have lost like this.
He can be better. And one last thing, Chris. I mean, in fairness, losing Senga, not having Manaea for the first 90 games, top of your rotation guys, they're paying Manaea a lot of money, which means they think they expect a big thing from him. So whenever you're not getting, you know, quality innings from your starters, it's going to wear on the bullpen, puts pressure on everybody. But that's one thing that, you know, the Senga, Manaea, and then you throw in Canning, who, you know, has, at least he's a professional. So they've taken some knocks. But the bottom line is we're still in a good spot as far as I'm concerned. And I still have faith in Stearns and Mendoza, especially Mendoza. And Stearns, I'm not panicking yet, believe it or not.
No, I mean, listen, I'm frustrated and I yelled about these three games. I don't know how you cannot be. And I'm concerned. I don't know about panicked. They're 11 games over 500 and a half, you know, a game and a half out of first place. Again, panic is probably a bit much. But there are concerns, without question. And you also mentioned the manager. Let me say this because, like, I've joked about how, you know, Boone gets all the blame and Mendoza, despite some of the same stuff going on with the base running and stuff, doesn't get nearly as much blame. I know right now Met fans want blood. They want heads to roll, right? So there's been some thought that maybe Eric Chavez could be on the way out. Like, let's just talk about the coaching staff for a second. What is firing Eric Chavez going to do? Like, honestly, what is firing the hitting coach going to do? Now, look, I understand he's the hitting coach. And if you're going to tell me that, and I do kind of feel this way, that he doesn't make that much of an impact, and what's the difference if you fire him or not, or why even have a hitting coach? Like, I get it. He's there to make sure they hit. They haven't hit. I wouldn't cry for Eric Chavez if he was fired. But, like, I don't know if that's going to do anything or that's going to make any significant change with the team. And Mendoza has done a really good job. The amount of Met fans I am now starting to hear, it's just proof, man. The team loses, we blame the manager. That's it. What is there to? What did Mendoza do? Like, he brought back out Paul Blackburn after the rain delay probably went a little long with him. He goes to Tidwell. Like, he's got no arms. He's got nobody to throw. The team is completely in disarray. They're either injured or struggling or overworked. Like, what do you want the guy to do? Mendoza has done a great job. Last year, they were 11 games under 500. And came all the way back. And he was there. He was the guiding, you know, hand throughout that whole thing. Mendoza has done a great job. A great job. I don't know what your problem with Mendoza could be. And look, they could fire Chavez. I don't know what it does. I don't know what it does. And it sounds like, from the reporting from Andy Martino, they have no intention to do so. And I wouldn't. I'll be totally honest with you. I wouldn't. I don't think it helps. I don't think it matters. Get through the year. You want to make a change after the year is over? That's fine. Right now, I don't think Chavez being let go is going to do anything. It's not going to light a fire. These guys don't need a, like, that's the other thing too. Like, I get it. This is a veteran team. They know what they need to do. They know what they need to do. These guys aren't not caring. Like, it looked like that in Pittsburgh, but like, I just don't think, oh man, Chavez got fired. Ooh. Let's start hitting because this is getting silly now. Like, Mike in Brooklyn, what's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac, thanks for taking my call, bud.
What's up, brother? Good. How are you?
Not much. Listen, dear, just three quick points because the whole thing drives me crazy with the whole mess. And I'm not even going to touch the pitching stuff. First of all, everybody half the Met fans call up and say, oh, everybody's hurting this, that, and the other thing. What about the Dodgers? First place, Snell, Sasaki, Glasnow, and Gonsolin are out. four quality number one, number two starters. That's the first point. So I don't want to hear when we have these misfit toy guys who pitch three, four innings. It drives me nuts. Second thing, the bleeding is not going to stop. Because look, we got Peralta, that complete stud. Mizorowski's pitching on Wednesday, and then Quintana. I wouldn't be surprised if they get swept in another series. This is how bad they've been playing.
Yeah.
And just the last point is, because I just want to hit the hitting, because I always hit the pitching with you, is I was having a conversation with one of my buddies yesterday, and I'm like, you know what I compare this team to? I compare this team to the Nets with Durant, Kyrie, and Harden. You know what? They barely ever played together, and when they played together, one was off, the other one was off, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Mets. You have Soto hitting great now, but then Alonso stinks and Lindor stinks, or vice versa. You had Alonso in the beginning of the year, and then Soto stinks. I don't understand. They just not, and it's not like it's 20 games in, and you're like, oh, yeah, they're just getting used to each other. We're more than halfway through the season. It's driving me crazy.
No, I get it. I get it, Mike, and thank you for the call. I mean, listen, basketball and baseball are a tough comparison. They had three of maybe the top 20, three of the top 25, 30 scorers in the history of the NBA on their team and couldn't get it done. It's a little bit different, and chemistry also matters a lot more. I understand your point, though. Nobody not going together at the same time, which is true. Lindor and Alonso were going well in the beginning of the season. They were getting wins mainly because the pitching staff was carrying them. And now Soto's the only one hot. While Soto was cold, they were hot. Now he's hot, they're cold. I get it. That is frustrating. And again, you know, to squander this month of Juan Soto and not get enough runs and not score enough runs and win enough games is frustrating. And even in his greatness, Juan Soto has been poor with runners in scoring position. Now, is that going to last forever? I don't know. Is it a bit fluky? Maybe. He's having an incredible month. Either way, he's hit home runs. He's trying to uplift the team. It's also that guys aren't getting on base. And the bottom of the order, look at the difference in the bottom of the order for Pittsburgh and the bottom of the order for the Mets in this series. And you can't tell me that they're overly more talented. Brian Hayes has been awful this year. Reynolds just starting to get hot. I mean, it's just an ugly weekend for the New York Mets, and they got to turn it around. And right now, it just feels like we'll see what they do. But off of those two games against Atlanta, to follow it up with this performance and now feel like, where are they getting answers from in the rotation? When is this offense going to hit? And the bullpen's on fumes.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.